It's the True Faith Podcast. Newcastle have drawn 2-2 at Southampton, live on Southampton TV, otherwise known as Sky Sports. You know, plucky underdog Southampton, you know, dominated the game according to Sky, and
won the 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
We've snatched a point.
Apparently. Snatched a point against the odds. Si, how are you feeling right now? Tell the listeners how you feel, what, like 5 minutes after the final whistle?
Gutted, which is mental, because obviously if you'd gone back 2 hours, I would have taken 2-2 all day. But it's just the way in which we've kind of
they've not had a chance.
No,
they have not had a chance.
We have thrown away 2 points the way it's played out. We didn't dominate the game, but we certainly controlled it. We let them have the ball, as you say. They did. Now Robert Leeds not made a save. And we got our goals well, and we absolutely deserved to be ahead, and they were under no real danger, and then out of nowhere, we've just thrown it away, and it's a catalogue of errors. Lejeune doesn't need to make the tackle, but he's kind of left.
Oh, we're getting into a lot of things now. You're just kind of rushing ahead there. I think for me, the kind of 15 minutes before half time, they were on top. I'll say they had no chances. They had a couple of chances, but Rob Elliott has not had to make a save. Well, he did have to make a save, and he let it in. More on that later. Ben, you were watching the game with you. You were very much an advocate of, you thought we're maybe a little bit defensive at the end, even though it was all us.
Kind of last defensive. Time. We were just time wasting and not really pushing when they had absolutely nothing. I mean, we got into some great positions towards the end, and we've let them away with it, really. We've given them a point where I think we could have taken all three. We've gotten some, as I say, great positions, and it was just... But I mean, I suppose they were hanging on for dear life as well for that point. But I just feel like we could have if just pushed on and nicked it.
It feels like a defeat, doesn't it? It's not a defeat. It's a good point away from home in the Premier League. Remember, this is a Newcastle team. This is a Newcastle as a club who've just for years and years and years now have just been dog shit away from home. And yeah. Everyone here listening will remember that, what, 3-1, 4-0, 4-0. Hammerins we've taken down there. It's
Carver
probably more.
Going, starting on
people. Carver asking people for fights and stuff, and we've gone there today and we're with a better team. You know, we had more chances. We hit the bar, bit of a weird way it came about, but we've hit the bar, we've had one cleared off the line. There's none of that for them. And, you know, it was frustrating listening to that commentary there. Just like, it was like Southampton TV, everything they talked about. Like, even at the final whistle, it was like, well, it's the Newcastle fans you can hear singing, but Southampton, thank God they've got their 2 goals at home. Like, you can see why. I mean, Southampton aren't a joke as well, by the way. They're 10th. They're 1 point and 1 place behind them. Mm-hmm. Before today, they'd only conceded 7 goals in 7 games. So
they've got some good players. They've got internationals in every position. They're a quality Premier League outfit that have been around for a long time, and someone that we have potentially looked to sort of replicate in terms of the way the club's run. But today there was only one winner. I don't know how we've not won that game.
Yes, it was a great start. We saw Newcastle sit off Southampton for the first, like, I think we were laughing, I think it was like 2:40 before Lejeune headed the ball out for a throw. That was our first bit of possession. but I think, would you agree, we actually started the game past that point on the front foot?
We did. We literally let them burn themselves out for about 3 minutes. There was that header, and then they're just kind of passing it around and getting nowhere near the box. I mean, I think maybe they put that one ball in for Lejeune, but yeah, I think we'll let them kind of say, right, lads, what you got? What have you got for? Not much, right? Okay, we'll see what we can do, and we just kind of started pushing them. And I thought, especially in the first half, Perez and somehow Richie and Atsu were both fit enough to play again today. And it was just the same thing that we've seen in the other three games we've won so far this season. There was good build-up play, and we're just so much more effective and so much more efficient on the ball, like getting into dangerous positions. And yeah, we haven't got that many chances, but all the chances we had were of a higher kind of quality. We were the more threatening team throughout, and we got a great goal that we deserved after, was it 20 minutes?
Something like that, Ben, yeah. You know, Hayden's inclusion raised some eyebrows, particularly on social media. Obviously, I thought he had a good game overall. He was a bit, before the goal, he was a little bit too negative, as we were saying. But that goal, and after that, I thought he was good. But the goal itself, would you agree with Si, it was coming?
I don't know, like, for our first one?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was coming. It was sort of the first real chance. Well, I don't even know you'd call it a chance necessarily. I mean, the Atsu one, obviously, they've blocked it well. But I think it's the way we've come to expect it. We hadn't really done a lot before that, but we're, every game this season, we've let them have the ball for the first 20 minutes. And then after that sort of first period, we've then come into the game and generally done something. So, I mean, it was a great strike by him. I mean, there was a couple of... Obviously, Greenstreet was there, and I think yourself were criticising Foster for it. I think the position where he is, he's committed himself for the first initial effort, and he's trying to get his feet back. I don't think you really blame him. But it was a great strike. But I just felt like, as you've already said, they didn't really offer anything. They've got two goals out of nothing.
Aye. Yeah, it was a great strike and fantastic for that away in there. Absolutely buzzing for everybody because it's just been such a good goal to watch live. You know, and it's really good technique. And Hayden showed last season with his goal against Cardiff and a few other times, I think particularly against Reading at home, when he does get forwards in those positions, he is actually a really good, capable technical player. You know, he's good. He's got good passing. He can shoot really well. We just don't really, probably for a variety of reasons, including tactical, don't see that enough of him. But like, you know, like Ben said, I mean, so let's talk about Iose Perez. We were very critical in the first half.
We always are. It's a hard player to watch in this sort of game because when our possession stats are so low and he's only getting two or three touches a game, we need them to be effective. But I thought he was. I thought he was. It always makes you think back to Brighton last year. He was hardly in the game at all, but when he came on and when he got his chance, he took it. And you always think that no matter how little of the ball he's got or when nothing's happened for it, with him on the pitch, you've got a chance of him just showing up and scoring a goal, and that's the only thing he's been missing so far this season. I think his work rate has improved massively. He was doing it again. He's coming back in. He's winning the ball, and I think all he's needed really for his confidence was that goal, and he got it. And I think we might see a few more from him now because he started to play a bit more positively. I know what you mean about the frustration. He
was just giving the ball away so much in the first half, using possession quite badly. And I think you said to him, he actually did really well at one point when we're bringing the ball out from a set piece, and he beat his man quite comfortably.
He beat like three men, but then tried to beat two more. And
yeah.
Put us straight back in a difficulty. We were so deep, which is not where you want Perez, but you don't want Perez picking the ball up on the edge of our box, which he was, and trying to run 10 yards and losing it. It's frustrating if he loses the ball on the halfway line. You kind of need him to be a bit further up the pitch. And as we got back into the game, he was, and we started seeing a bit more of what we kind of needed.
It's that you don't mind him trying that in their final third, but you don't want to do it in our third.
Just and then, you know, half time comes. And he scores the goal, which is an excellent goal. It's a really good finish. There isn't much of the goal to actually aim at because there's a massive keeper in the way. Very similar, and it kind of tells me a little bit or suggests that it's probably a better goal than it seems because he did the exact same thing at QPR. So it's not like you get lucky with the rebound, you get lucky with the shot. Well, he's done it before at QPR when he won away from home last season. So, like you said, absolutely fantastic to see him on the score sheet. He got hooked fairly shortly after. But it was a really nice move actually for that goal, and it was just, that's probably what it almost felt like, that this is what good teams do. It's like, I remember like years ago when we used to play Man U or a big team like that, even away from home, if we'd get a goal, like go 1-0 up straight or get an equal, they'd just score straight away. I'm thinking of Man United, Old Trafford 08 when Martin scores and they're going fucking tits in the away end, and while we're still celebrating, Fletcher scores, and you're just like, oh, that's what it felt like from us to them, because like you are saying, we were the dominant force in the game, well, without the ball, but in terms of dictating play, looking dangerous on the counter-attack, being good in possession, we just give away such soft goals. Ben, the first goal, I'm not going to do it, so maybe one of you do it. Should Rob Elliott save it?
Just a fucking disgrace, I mean, it's frustrating from the players, the outfield players as well. I mean, Mankiw, to be fair to him,
he does stick tight with him.
Yeah, he does everything he can in terms of he stays with the runner, pushes him inside, and you think no bother, like pushing him into other players, but nobody else really comes out there to take the ball off him and would let him get a scuffy little shot off, and it just seems to roll it like roll in. It's not a good strike, and Elliott's just beaten far too easily. He should be. That just shows he doesn't. You always go on about it. Just shows a keeper that doesn't have footwork.
Doesn't move his feet.
If you've got the footwork there, you get yourself in a position where you're covering everything off, and it just doesn't have that.
We haven't watched any replays, so this might be total bollocks. But what it seems like is he doesn't change his footwork or standing position, Rob Elliott, from when Gabbiadini literally moves up and around the box outside for a shot, and he's ball watching. He doesn't actually move. It's just such a... It's just like it rolls into the bottom of the net. It's the same as Shaqiri last week. Obviously, that was hit much harder. Not last week, whenever I fucking played Stoke. Mm-hmm. Weeks ago. It's not in the corner. It's not struck particularly, like, unbelievably. Yeah. Like, I think he should have done better on Coutinho's. I can live with the Coutinho one, because it's like... I think a better keeper saved it, but it's not like a huge error. That today is a goalkeeping error. Though, like Ben says, it's not solely down to him. But it's a goalkeeping error. Once again, like, how many times are we going to get stung for goalkeeping errors this season? We can't afford, like, we don't concede that goal. Easy said now, probably win that game 1-0. Because before half time, I actually didn't think we played well after the goal. I thought we were too deep. And I thought we were saying, like, what are the, about 40 minutes, it was like, what are we actually doing? The amount of times we're giving the ball away, we must have given away 5 or 6 fouls in the way of, like, sloppy, 4 minutes in and around the penalty area. It's like, lads, it's all they've got. They only have set pieces. Why are you continually giving away niggly fouls? So I think we kind of lost control a little bit there, but we got into half time. We were comfortable again in the second half, and we'll concede that fucking goal. And it's just like, when's the penny going to drop? And you know what? Maybe Cardallo's shite. I don't know. But he did well. In fact, he played really well. He was a fan favourite for most of last season. Some of Rob's kicking today was just...
embarrassing.
Just terrible. but it didn't cost me.
It felt like he'd been told, like, we'd do best when we don't have the ball, Rob. So just make sure we don't have the ball. Every time you get it back to the other team.
Yeah, but a really poor goal. But like we said, Si, we'll go up the pitch. We'll score almost straight away. And did you think at that point only one winner?
It felt like it. It felt like it, if you're good enough to take the lead, and then to have a setback and concede a goal, but then to immediately just go, right, we'll just score again. Then we've never had that, especially away from home. Like, it just felt like, well, this is our day. We've absolutely done it here, and it's. At no point for the next maybe 20 minutes of the match did I think, oh, we're gonna let this slip here, because it just didn't feel like they were getting anywhere. If anything, we looked like we're going to catch them on the break. We'll put Gale on, we'll put Murphy on as well a bit later, and if anything, we had a threat to kind of, right, we'll let them press up the pitch, and then we'll catch them, and we kind of nearly did a couple of times. And then again, it was a Gale chance, wasn't it? Gale was up the other end of the pitch running at the box, and then out of nowhere we've just somehow been caught. I don't even know. I wouldn't even say on the break. They broke forward and a couple of like ricochets, and suddenly they had.
It's Lascelles goes in for a tackle and just bottles it. Really, he just needs to be smashing it, going through the player and making sure the ball fucking goes.
Like, yeah, or give away. Considering they're on a fucking counter attack, give away the foul there. Like, I know I'm saying don't give away niggly free kicks. That wouldn't have been a niggly free kick. I totally agree with you, Ben. That's. For all the praise he's had this season, not just from us, from much of the fan base, from the media, that wasn't good enough from the captain.
It was a soft tackle, unfortunately. And
he's put Lejeune under unnecessary pressure, and what happened next, obviously, happened.
I want to talk about Lejeune's performance in more depth later, but you're probably more sympathetic towards him, Si, than I am for the pen.
Well, it's a needless challenge, but I'm just looking at it in real time. You just thought, oh, Lejeune's definitely getting to that, and you just couldn't believe that the pen came of it, because, I mean, I think Shane Long knows exactly what he's doing. He's got there. He's going too fast, and the ball's going too far away from him to do anything with it. That's why Lejeune shouldn't even make a challenge. But he knows what he's doing. He's put his toe on the ball. The ball's almost out of play before Lejeune makes contact. But Lejeune makes contact.
He just kicks it. It's one of them. He just pulled out of it, because that's the sort of thing where Long probably dives.
But Long's got there first in order to win the penalty. So he's kicked the ball out of play. Mm-hmm. So he's made contact with the ball to allow, if Lejeune touches in there, then it's a pen. And it's just a bit of naivety maybe, or a bit of inexperience from Lejeune. He's kind of been done. But it was a nothing chance. It was a bad ball in a Long that he was trying to recover. And just to get a
Long,
out of it.
I cannot tell you what Shane Long did in that game apart from that chance. Like, he was so quiet. Compared, he's put Newcastle to the sword many times. They're just, between them, the only players who really gave any problems were Gabbiadini, obviously, because he scored twice, and Tadic. Probably the rest of them were just non-entities in attacking force. You can see why Southampton struggled to score. But back to the penalty incident, it was just like, we are a good team. We're good at what we do. We're good at being compact. We're good at being tight. We're not going to score three times often away from home, so we can't afford to be conceding two of the softest goals that we'll give away this season. And I don't know why I feel so negative, and it's like 15, 20 minutes now after the game. But that's a good point, and I can say that's a good point. I just wish it would be so much easier if Southampton have scored two really good goals, or two just goals, that like just normal goals that you concede, not shit, soft goalkeeping error and defensive error goals like that. I mean, again, you have to blame Lejeune a lot more than Lascelles, but I'm still really disappointed with Lascelles' failure to even just give away a foul there when we're under so much pressure.
Like a lot of players out of position, the Edlin was up the field. They had a 2-on-1 against him. That's why he's got to realise he can't allow that ball to stay in play, and he did, and we've paid for it.
And then again after that, I don't. Can you just recall a single Southampton chance after they got the equaliser, despite Southampton TV making out it was some sort of like relentless assault on my goal.
Yeah, the one where Bertrand's just smashed it across goal and saved it and palmed it out into sort of the middle of the box, but it goes straight to Shelby. That's the one real opportunity.
It was end to end, in as much as there was a lot of goal kicks being taken by both keepers. Like the Sky Southampton commentators were just talking about it like it was some sort of end to end, like someone was going to get a winner, when really a 2-2 it felt like the game was over. The last 10 minutes kind of fizzled out. We had a couple of good chances at the end, but
we should have won it
again. Like that's not how it was being put across, was it?
Ben, you were getting frustrated while watching it with Dwight Gayle. You think he should be offering more when he comes
not,
on?
Not with him. It's just the way I'm frustrated for him, really, because he comes on and just, this is probably the fourth or fifth game now where he's come on and literally hasn't had a kick.
Yeah.
And it's a way, the poor lad's just wasting his energy.
I think he
did have one kick and it was a terrible pass to Shelby.
So there was that opportunity, and there was the one where for the goal before their pen, he had a really good run where he sort of beat two or three players, ran it into the corner, and then obviously the rest takes care of it after that. But it was just we didn't get a foothold in the game. That's the frustrating thing, was especially with Shelby Marino on the pitch.
It was the exact right sub though at the right time when he came on.
Oh yeah. I mean we were
pushing them back and putting them under pressure, and they were
we were calling for it. I mean, Hosolu was really ineffective today and for most of the game, and it was the right decision. It's just I feel like we should have been better on the ball. We had the two best ball playing players on the pitch in Marino and Shelby, and I just feel like we couldn't get the ball in.
You know what's strange? We almost look more threatening with just Dwight Gayle and the three, because obviously he takes off Perez and brings off Marino. Yeah. There didn't really seem to be a suggestion that Marino was playing a number 10. He was
moved on a bit further forward.
Yeah, so it was weird how threatening we did look. I mean, I know the game was straight. It wasn't end to end like Sky was suggesting, but it was stretched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite pleasing for the future. But then I suppose we did have a lot of chances at the end across the ball in the box, and there was no one in really.
Yeah.
Si, do you think that Rafa's probably been a little bit stubborn with this one striker on the bench policy? And I totally agree there. I would have been clamouring for Dwight Gayle. You're 2-1 up. They're going to have to throw men forwards. He will get a chance to score. But do you think that maybe it wouldn't have changed anything, because he's not going to bring on another striker? But do you think perhaps Mitrovic might have been a better shout because of what happened in terms of taking off Perez, because we failed to hold the ball up, so kind of when Gayle went off, Hosolu went off.
Yeah, you're asking to kind of predict the way the game's going to go.
Should he be giving himself more options on the bench than just one striker?
I don't think so. He started this game with Marino, Murphy, and Gayle on the bench. If we need to change things, that's enough options to change things round. Having the option to kind of change it twice and have another striking option doesn't seem necessary to me, and it's probably more risky when you saw like Yedlin probably could have, you know, on another day maybe got two yellow cards and been sent off. You need defensive substitutions far more than you need attacking ones in case something goes wrong, and things always go fucking wrong for us.
Having
Mitrovic as another sub would be a luxury, so I'm not that arsed.
Keep an eye out, lads, for Rafa coming on, because I'll pause this.
Yeah.
I love Dwight Gayle more than anyone. You know how much I love him. I think he should start. I can see why he doesn't. I just felt he was a little bit, I don't know, something wasn't right when he came on. And it must be frustrating for him, because he wants to make runs in behind. He wants to play on the shoulder. Then we'll concede and we'll very clearly almost accept the point despite the little flourish at the end. But he's almost, and it's a little bit like Perez, he's almost just kind of a waste of a shirt. Is that too harsh?
He's like Perez, and he's desperate to get his goal because he wasn't passing. He had good chances to lay his teammates in, and he just was trying to find a way to shoot himself, because that's what you do when you're the second choice striker. You try and You're trying to score goals. That's what Mitrovic used to do whenever he got a chance. Like, instead of being selfish, you'd probably make more of an impression on Rafa if you make the right decision and pass the ball. But I think you're right. I think the goal's kind of killed his chance for the 30 minutes of play he was going to get. The goal came out of nothing, and it just changed everything, and it meant that suddenly, before they scored, because we were ahead, Southampton were having to push back and starting to commit players forward. That's when Gale was going to be able to take advantage, and we kind of robbed him of that by conceding such a stupid goal.
Yeah. You know, Sky foaming. There'll be a parliamentary inquiry soon into why wasn't DeAndre Yedlin sent off, the disgrace Ben. Yeah. Do you even know what the first booking was for? Does anyone know what the first booking was for? Because I think he got booked and I didn't even think it was a foul.
It was that one where it was, we thought it was a throw-in, and he took the guy out on the, and we, they gave a free kick.
They took it quickly. He didn't have time to.
You got booked for that?
Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
That's a good point. If he's taking it quickly when the ref intends to book the player, surely you guys know, I'm dealing with this. I don't understand how he's gone back and booked him retrospectively when they've took the free kick.
Just played the advantage for them.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, Ben, it should have been a second yellow? Do you think we've been very lucky there? As the commentators talked about it constantly.
The second was a yellow, but as you say, I don't know that the first one was. So, and likewise, I think Gabby Deeney's lucky not to get sent off. He gets a booking in the second half for kicking the ball away. Well, he could have been booked for his kick at Yedlin, but got a free kick for, and then he just like shoulder barges him on the way past. Like, that's a yellow card in itself. So, no one will talk about that. But that's for me. That's the same type of thing. Yes, Yedlin probably could have gone, but bothered he wasn't. So crack on. It's not really. It would. I don't think it's a massive. That I mean, yes, that they could have gone off, but they were that bad. I honestly don't think it would have made any real difference. It would have just meant we probably had less of the ball, and we probably don't kick on and try and win it at the end. But what were you doing?
Yeah, you've got to give credit to Yedlin, credit to Rafa, because we're all saying get Gomez on straight away, and he doesn't. He trusts him, and he still
managed to make a defensive impact without committing himself into any silly tackles or anything. So. He fair play to him. He kept his head.
He saw the game was there to be won, so he chose to use his last sub to get Murphy on and see if we could make something.
I think as well, Yedlin's pace, like he was getting forward at the end as well, and he was creating that overlap all the time. So, it was the right decision in the end. He was justified in leaving him on.
One of the things which impressed me most, like even at the end, was how much confidence the players had in the ball. You saw the likes of Yedlin, Mankeo running with the ball 20-30 yards. I was going to say it's unknown from previous Newcastle teams. I suppose Daryl Yan Mat did have a good attacking streak in him, but we just seem so comfortable in our own skin as a team that it bodes well for the future. And as I say, I keep going on about this Newcastle away from home thing. We've been so bad for so long away from home in the Premier League that it's just those signs are really, really encouraging. Like we said, we've come to Southampton and we're all feeling probably a bit less good now. It's been about half an hour.
Still fuming. Been robbed.
That we've not won that game. And again, despite the kind of narrative of Sky, Southampton aren't in the bottom three. Southampton aren't Palace. They've had a reasonable start of the season. They've probably lost some games. They haven't scored enough goals, anywhere near enough goals. But they're not a side that Newcastle, a team like Newcastle, newly promoted, should be going and putting a performance like that in, because it's I don't know, it just feels weird that we were the better team. And that was way better than Brighton. That's the positive thing. Last away game, Brighton, and it's, what is it? What did I say? One defeat and six now in the Premier League. Listen to TalkSport, I know. It's my own fault. On the way to yours, Ben, to watch this, Newcastle are in poor form. Poor form. One defeat and six, ninth in the league. But
It does make you laugh that they come out with all of these when, if you'd have asked all of them, they'd have said, oh, Newcastle would be bottom three.
Yeah.
Probably favourites to go down. Yet, there's still any negative, like, what's the word? Sort of, I don't know what I'm looking for here, but any sort of negativity that can put to against Newcastle, they will. So, like, that they should be saying realistically, Newcastle are nine. Like, have had some brilliant. They've won some games, which I bet a lot of them probably fucking Paul Merson every other week.
Well, defeats, Merson would have won 1 point so far, and Lawrence would have won 3.
Yeah.
So they've both been way off,
and yet they'll still be criticising them, saying they've not been very good though. It's like bollocks. Like, you can't have it front in both ways, you idiots.
Si Lejeune came into the team. like we've said many times in the podcast, being selected in international duty is often a mare for your place in the team. And we said, like, you know, Mankio, everyone's been talking about his performances for the under-21s. Well, scoring some goals against some teenagers probably doesn't come into Rafa's thinking compared to, like, solid graft on the training ground.
Yeah.
But Lejeune, for you, do you think he's done enough despite his glaring error to stay in the team?
Oh, it's such a nightmare, that penalty. I really wish he hadn't done that, because I thought he did play really well. I think we both said in the first half there was a little bit of a lack of coordination between Lejeune, Lascelles and Elliott, because obviously it's a new defensive partnership. But I think as the game went on, they both looked very comfortable. And like I say, the two goals are mistakes.
Yeah.
Just mistakes, individual errors. It's not really about reflective of their overall game. I thought it was good to have Lejeune's another player who's really confident and comfortable on the ball.
Yeah.
So he's a good swap for Clark. And to be fair, he was getting forward after being responsible for the goal. He kind of took some.
Nice to see another massive threat from a set piece.
Yeah, took some responsibility. You know, he was getting forward, but he's also like picking up the ball in defence and running forward 10 yards and finding the pass. That's what we need in games like that. We need defenders to take a bit of responsibility and not just kind of offload the ball quickly and put us under pressure. And he's just he just looks a class act. He's better than Lascelles and Clark at football. So he's got to start playing more games.
Yeah, and I suppose for all the criticism we've dished on him here for that ridiculous penalty, it is like that was his first 90 minutes in English football. Yeah. He's done well. I probably think, even though Lascelles has done well, I probably think Clark Lejeune. I'd like to see that.
They're the best two, you would say, from what we've seen. I think they definitely deserve to get the nod going forward, but I don't know how Rafa will view that. He might say, well, I've had Clark and Lascelles in before that have done spot on, had no issues. When Clark's back from his international period, he might think, stick him back in. Well, who knows what Rafa's thinking, but personally, I would say Lejeune gives us a lot more options. He's as you have just said, he's a better player, especially the way we're playing. We need the defence to be good on the ball, and I think with Clark in there, you've got a back four there that are comfortable taking the ball out, comfortable moving the ball when we're in deep. And I just think Clark into that back four, that's the best.
You're almost like in my, this is like the people who say Xavi should play 10. In my fantasy world, I see Lejeune playing with Mbembe. Just imagine how comfortable those two would be on the ball.
Well, that's the funny one, is Mbembe's the sort of forgotten man that keeps playing fullback.
Yeah,
but like before the start of the season, you would have probably said Mbembe
finished last season in the team.
Yeah, he's got all the physical tools to be a top defender. Yeah.
His biggest issue is not being able to speak English, but if his partner is French should be sorted.
Yeah, so that options, it's nice to have options, isn't it? I mean, Murphy came on and didn't really get a kick. Again, it probably wasn't what he was brought on for, for that kind of defensive display.
Yeah, the substitutes were made at a time when Rafa obviously
thought really positive, weren't they?
We're going to win this game here. And it took a gag not to win the game, and it's happened again.
Yeah, Newcastle. There was that chance at the end, wasn't there, with Shelby and Gale, and it's like one of you just said, please switch those two players. Yeah. We'll win that game.
We don't need Gale putting a through ball onto Shelby to run at you.
He's being weighed down with his bloody club hand. We needed it the other way around, ideally. And the pass probably would have been in front of him if it was Shelby.
Yeah.
Would have been able to pass the ball a bit better. Dwight's obviously not used to having the ball on the pitch.
It's also Dwight's just thinking, if I put this any more than 3 yards ahead of Shelby, he's not going to get there. Fraser Foster will come out like 30 yards away and still get there ahead of Shelby. But yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's a weird one. It is a good point, and it's like you look at the games we've lost and the disappointment. It's Huddersfield and Brighton. This was far more in the Swansea category. We probably maybe played better here than we did at Swansea. You know, Swansea had some bona fide chances, not many, but obviously Tammy Abraham with the Lascelles clearance and the header that were clear cut chances they should have scored. I don't think they had any today. I know Tadic has a header in the first half, but again, I didn't buy Sky's assessment that was a guaranteed goal if he heads it back across. There was no pace in the ball for a start.
And it's Tadic,
he's not Alan Shearer, reborn. But yeah, I just think it's a good point. And Palace winning yesterday just fucks everything up for next week. Because we knew where we stood. We knew that next week a draw would have been a bad result pre-Palace winning that game. It probably still is a bad result because you've got to, you know, we can't just keep drawing games. It'll catch up with us eventually. But I'll certainly take 2-2 draws away at teams in the top 10 of the Premier League, which is what today was. There aren't many, you know, you look at the rest of the Premier League and I keep kind of half worrying about our position. But you look at the teams below us. There's no one below us who you think, bloody hell, like, I mean, Leicester and Everton are probably the two that...
They're all struggling, though. I mean, Everton have laboured to a 1-1 draw today. They're not play. Fair enough, if they were, like, battering teams and they were just, like, teams were just getting lucky against them, fair enough. But they're not playing well enough to win these games. And yeah. And we're playing better than they are.
But, yeah, I think what you're going to say there, Douglas, I can't see any of the rest of them teams putting a run together and kind of... you know, as long as we keep getting points like we have done in the last two games, you know, and then win, we should be winning the Palaces at home. But you know,
why do you think Leicester were good enough to do that?
We've got players that cost £30 million. We don't.
So they've got a striker that can't even get a game for them. Slimani that they've spunked fortune on that doesn't play. They've got Jamie Vardy who is basically Dwight Gayle. Like, and they've lost Drinkwater and Kante, they're winning midfield.
Does Drinkwater ever play for Chelsea?
Nah, he's just on the bench, isn't he? He'll probably play in the... Well, it's probably for the Champions League, for their, like, English quarter players or whatever. But it's just, I don't think Leicester are a good team. They never have been. If you play...
Never have been, won the league a couple of years ago.
If you play playing at their hands, teams have learnt that. And since they've won the league... They've had two very average seasons.
Yeah, Leicester will get a sharp shock if they think they're going to play counter-attacking football against us.
Exactly.
When Rob Elliott's literally giving them the ball back every 30 seconds. I said, no, you have it, lads.
So but, I don't see that they're a top... I mean, don't get us wrong, they're not going to get relegated, but they're a sort of top, bottom half team, if you know what I mean.
If we'd have won today, we would have gone into sixth place, which feels like an opportunity lost, but... Pre-game, as we said, any draw would have been a good result. I just wish, you know, you look at the two goals today, you look at Brighton and the ridiculous free kick Lascelles gives away, when again, all Brighton had was set pieces in that second half or leading up to that goal.
That tackle was worse than Lejeune's. That Lascelles tackle was so stupid. The lad's facing away from goal, going nowhere. He just smashes through the back of him.
Yeah.
At least there was a threat when Lejeune's had to run over and cover for his teammate who's kind of let him through. But
it's just
stupid fouls have given away points.
It's just dropped. I mean, maybe we're being overly harsh. Maybe every single year you concede, unless you're playing against Man City, everyone can always do something better. But it just feels a little bit like we've shot ourselves in the foot in the last two away games. And when everyone's just desperate to see Newcastle do well, Newcastle win away from home, which happens so rarely, like how many more opportunities are we going to give the opposition to get back into it? But I'm sure that's been a little bit of, like, overly harsh. You know, many positives from today. You know, Hayden back in the team. I thought he played well after the goal. Great goal. You know, fantastic, really good. Perez gets a goal. Fantastic. You know, not changed the title of this podcast because didn't win the game. But I thought he, like I said earlier, he took his goal really well and he had a poor first half. But past that, he was very good in the second half. I thought he was maybe hooked a little bit early unless it was tiredness, considering he just scored. But, you know, Marino did play really well when he came on. He hardly put a foot wrong. Obviously, since the last time we spoke, Ben, Marino signed permanently. You're happy with that?
Oh, brilliant. Unbelievable, yeah.
£9 million in total, they say.
It's great business. I mean, I think we already knew it was going to happen either that now or at the end of the season. It was just a matter of when we could officially get it done in terms of what the initial agreement was. But yeah, I mean, everyone's been delighted with the way that he's come in, and even again today when he came on, he was brilliant. He's just a class act, and long may we keep finding little gems like him sitting in Dortmund's reserves or wherever.
You've got to say, like, next week it's got to be Xavi Marino, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Against Palace, like, who knows, because it's Rafa. But it's got to be Xavi Marino, you know, against Kabay and MacArthur.
As you just said before, though, in your fantasy dream world where Xavi plays a 10.
That's not my dream, that.
Oh, right.
That's other people's fantasy.
It is, mate, I'll claim it. I think...
I thought we were, with all three of them in midfield, we were very creative.
That's what
we
I mean, really is in the last 10 minutes, there's only one winning. That's why I was a bit disappointed, was that those three were spot on. I mean... Shelvey, it'll be interesting to see how Shelvey would play in that role, because he's when he's in the midfield too, he likes to come so deep that you worry would he try and sort of becoming dropping too deep as the from the 10 role. But
he's not playing the 10 role, no chance. But
if I mean, well, it's not going to be Hayden, is it? So
well, he's not going to play. He will play Perez next week. There's no way that Perez.
But that's
play.
What I mean. Is in that three. I mean, he's done it before, and you just feel like you've got three. Well, two in Marino and Shelvey. However, you get them on the pitch, whether it's Hayden or Perez, whatever. As long as those two are on the pitch, you feel like they're going to dovetail well, and we're going to have control of the ball. And that's just where my frustration with Gale came, is that with those two on the pitch, it's just frustrating that Gale didn't get more balls into feet, or at least attacking balls where he could test the defence out. Because I mean, if you'd have put him against Yoshida,
we're up against a supposedly £60 million rated centre back a day, or £75 million, and I thought, you know, we created plenty. You know, I thought Manquillo again deserves a lot of praise. He's playing on the wrong side. He's playing at left back. Very solid defensively. He had a good partnership with Atsu. When Richie switched to that side, Richie was more dangerous. And I think Yedlin had a good game as well. But Manquillo's someone who just impresses me, you know, non-stop. And then Sai, you know, you were doubtful that the two wingers would play, Atsu and Richie. Do you think it was another one? I think we've talked before, Atsu, away from home, he's not really the same player. Is he the new Wijnaldum, though? He does have a heart, so he's not that bad.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's through lack of trying, but I think, yeah, he doesn't get enough, obviously, away from home, especially with the amount of possession we seem to have in this sort of game. He doesn't really get much time on the ball at all. Like, Atsu's best performances have come when he's had time to get the ball at his feet. That's why he's been so good at home, and we get him in space with space to run into, but... I don't know. I think he's still a threat. I think Atsu and Richie. Rafa's done that brilliantly, by the way. Just international break. They both played too much football. They're both probably going to need some time off. Right, straight back in the team.
Particularly for the weird one. I mean, it's got to be infuriating if you're a Ghana fan, because they were crucial World Cup qualifiers, and he's played the game before and they play the game after.
True. I mean, I always like there to be competition. I don't want to. You think that anyone's undroppable, but for the first six games, Atsu was our best player, and it's like he has to play. But
oh yeah, absolutely want him playing against Palace.
I do want to see more of Jacob Murphy. In an ideal world, I'd like to see more of Rolando Ahrens as well. But it'd be harsh to criticise Atsu on today's performance. He's still there. He's still making runs. He's still part of the build-up play. I thought Richie was good.
Yeah,
put a few good balls in. Obviously, he was involved. He had the initial shot for the Hayden goal. So
he
impacted the game, and that's what you want from. Your attacking players impact the game somehow, and we've got Perez and Atsu who maybe weren't always at the forefront of our attacking play, but they were still impacting the game, and that's what it's about, is that you've got to take your moments when you get them, take your chances.
That's it, I think, lads. I don't think we've missed anything out, unless you want to say anything about that. Silence. So yeah,
it'll be interesting. Just to put, I mean, the Hosslu one looked a bit toothless today. It'll be interesting to see. I think we've all been justified in how he's been playing, or at least the team plays when he's in up front. But I think today was probably his most ineffective game. He didn't really get involved in much of the game. I think he was dominated in the air by Van Dijk, so he didn't really sort of hold the play up much. I think that's where we were lacking a bit, perhaps, in the first half. And when you were saying after 40 minutes we were thinking just see through to half time, I think that's where we struggled a bit today. So when you were saying before about just having the one striker on the bench, I mean, yeah, you feel like would it be better having Mitrovic on the pitch just for a more powerful presence up front?
It's like, yeah, I think that's probably something I wouldn't agree with at the moment, but it's certainly a discussion that you could have if he wasn't a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
you know, like we're on the Wolves away last year, like Rafa felt he could keep Yedlin on the pitch today because he trusts him, not so Mitrovic.
Yeah.
But maybe things will change. But yeah, I agree with you that Hosslu was didn't have his best game today. I'm sure he'll play against Palace, and you know what, he scored against Liverpool.
I was going to say, we're not going to sort of drop the guy after one average performance. We've still scored two goals in the game, and he's played his part. I just feel like this is his most ineffectual one. You just think, you hope. He's again, like, he's had one sort of half chance where he's put in a terrible shot, and you just think could we upgrade that position again? But it's something, as you say, just to sort of monitor going forward, just see if he get one next week, which I'm sure we will against Palace, and we'll, you're not going to be complaining again, are you?
Yep, this is it. This is the Premier League. Where it's kind of, we're back now. It's just we're right in the thick of it. We've got Palace and Burnley next, and you just got to be hoping for points there. You'd be hoping for, I don't want to put a figure on it, but one defeat in six, this team has a backbone and a resilience. And when we're coming to places like Southampton, and it feels like a defeat at the full-time whistle when we haven't won the game, it is only a positive thing. And things have changed from the last time we were in the league in terms of the team's character, defensive ability, and also ability to play away from home. That has been the True Faith Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back probably Wednesday with a Crystal Palace preview. Make sure you catch Norman, who isn't with us tonight because he's in Southampton. Make sure you catch his match report on the True Faith website. I'm sure it'll be a good read, and we will speak to you soon.